Alcohol wholesalers have called for stepped up monitoring and enforcement of our alcohol laws here in Wisconsin. The state revenue department has 10 agents to track and enforce licenses. They're trying to cover enforcement for tens of thousands of businesses across the state. We're talking about the state's alcohol laws and enforcement and the work of a legislative study committee with Cap Times investigative reporter Caitlin Farrell. You can join in on how Wisconsin goes about licensing and regulating. Do you rent out your barn, perhaps, for private events? Do you have a liquor license or use licensed bartenders? What do you think about having a class of regulations for wedding barns? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Caitlin, what is this issue around wedding barns? Because outgoing Attorney General Brad Schimmel recently suggested that wedding barns should be subject to the state's liquor laws.
Sure. So this is an area where, it's murky because the law doesn't directly address this type of business, which we've seen grow in popularity over the last few years. So basically, wedding barns maintain that they do not right now. Some do, but many do not hold a state liquor license. And so the ones who do not hold a state liquor license say that they don't think that they should have to, because they're not selling alcohol, they're not producing alcohol, they're not distributing it. Many of them say they have licensed bartenders who come onto their premises and serve that, but they maintain that they're not in the business of alcohol. And so although they create a space where someone can rent it out and a caterer is involved, that they shouldn't have to hold a liquor license. So some folks, Tavern League included, says that, well, you're basically creating a space where people come and consume alcohol. There's alcohol, going on there, consumed, it's being given out. And so this should be regulated, because this is a controlled substance that the state should be looking at. And so there's been a lot of lack of clarity in the law about whether the state has the right to enforce that. And recently, outgoing AG Brad Schimmel wrote an informal opinion. So this is not binding law. Mm-hmm. It's just something that attorneys would look to when trying to understand what the law would say, saying that, in effect, wedding barns would constitute a public space, which would make it necessary for them to hold liquor licenses. So in broad strokes, the opinion that he wrote basically would align with what the Tavern League is requesting, which is that they hold liquor license. And so the wedding barn group, they're organized through an organization called the Wisconsin Agriculture Tourism Association. They maintain that they're going to fight that. They don't want to have a license. And again, I think some barns do have a license, but others don't. And I think that this is going to continue to be a sticking point.
Well, this is private property, and there may also be municipality building codes involved.
Yep, that's right. And they are regulated in other ways through other entities. So on the municipal level, they have a building inspection, they adhere to fire codes. There are local officials that are monitoring what they're doing and making sure things are safe ostensibly. And so that's often the argument that we hear from the other side, is it's not like they're not regulated in any way. But as far as the alcohol is concerned, some are not really regulated. I mean, other than, they might have a licensed bartender come in, but a caterer or the person who's holding the event can, some barns let them bring in whatever they want to serve to their guests.
So are businesses in the industry aligned on how they want Wisconsin's system to change, or does it differ from tier to tier? Like, who's in whose camp, right?
Right. It really differs from tier to tier in some ways. In broad strokes, I would say many craft producers have advocated for an overhaul of the entire system. So they call this a modernization of three-tier. I mean, they really want the structure that we've seen for decades to be fundamentally changed. So we see that. The wholesalers and retail tier fundamentally do not want that to happen, so they disagree with that. When we get into some of the finer points of this discussion, then we see different tiers allied with each other. So often we'll see, retailers often have their own set of interests, so wedding barns is more of a concern for them maybe than we might see with wholesalers, although wholesalers largely agree in premise with what retailers also say is a problem. I would say wholesale, retail, and craft to some degree all think that, though, one way they come together is that there is a lack of clarity in the law. They're not quite sure, how are we going to interpret it today? Is it going to be enforced? And that you know, doesn't do any of the tiers justice. And so I would say, though, we hear a lot more about enforcement, and some changes at DOR from the wholesale tier and the retail tier than the craft tier.
So as you say all of this, in my mind worrying a little bit, did the study committee make any progress over the 5 months? I mean, did they set out to do something and figure out something?
You know, largely no, I don't think. I think that, I guess, in the large scheme of this large problem, not a ton of progress. I mean, I think many folks think that dealing with out-of-state shipping is a good step forward. That's really one thread, I think, in a host of issues that are still going to come up, and we're going to see, be fought on this. And so the larger premise about the lack of clarity in the law and DOR enforcement, you know, wasn't dealt with. And then, you know, with the outcome of the election in November, that really threw everything up in the air, because, you know, they could have passed some, you know, sweeping legislation that would have gone on one side or the other. But at the end of the day, we don't really know what the Evers administration is going to do. And so, DOR could ramp up enforcement, they could hire a bunch more people, or he could keep it as status quo, he could fundamentally change the approach to enforcement. So I think that was a factor in the committee as well, although, it really wasn't set up at the outset to deal with, I think, what a fundamental question and dispute was.
So, and this committee is not really going to dissolve, is that right? They're going to kind of stick around, or?
So it will adjourn eventually, and it's a session-based committee, so it won't translate into the new year. They'd have to reestablish it. It just stops short of adjourning for now. I think there was a thought that, yeah, it would be its last meeting earlier this month or last month, but it'll be done by the end of the calendar year, in effect. I think that they just, the chair, Rob Swearingen, had said that he wants to kind of keep the door open to maybe talk with the transition team, but we won't see this in the next legislative session. They'd have to reestablish it.
Wisconsin is among a number of states, though, with a three-tier system. Could we look elsewhere for some guidance, for some inspiration on how to better regulate and enforce?
Yes, we could. I think the degree to which we should do that and the lessons that we should learn from what other states have done is definitely a point of discussion here. Folks that are calling for a modernization or a total overhaul of the system have said that we should adopt some of the practices of other states, but when we've seen that happen, there have also been some unintended consequences and issues with that as well.
Like what?
We've seen some, I'm not totally clear on what's gone on, but I know there's been issues in like Massachusetts and California, and I think some of it involves, you know, liquor that isn't really liquor. So if you're buying like Smirnoff vodka, it could be like bootleg, not really from that. We see just a lack of control and then more players flooding the market, and you're not really sure what you're getting necessarily. So I think that's happened in some places. And so I think wholesalers and retailers often are more wary of that. Like they say, you know, three tiers really working, and see these other states have totally dismantled it, and look at what they're, you know, they've run into some problems. And so, but yeah.
What does the fate of Wisconsin's system look like then, under Governor-elect Tony Evers? Do we have any indication?
Not that I have been able to discern. The folks that I've spoken to who track this don't know. I've asked. I think the thought is that he will replace the folks at the Department of Revenue, but no one really knows what will happen. And so I think that's a key thing here. We're just going to have to kind of wait and see what happens in the new session.
And then with all of these political action committees formed, do you see them having legs and continuing on with their work?
Right. Yes, I do. I think we'll definitely see the Craft Beverage Coalition continue to raise money. They have said that, you know, this is really only the beginning. We've seen these other legacy wholesale PACs raising money for a long time, and they generally have more money than the Craft Beverage Coalition folks, and the Tavern League as well. And so, yeah, I think we'll definitely just continue to see this. I think it'll come up in one way or another, whether it's in the budget process or standalone bills, but the issue is definitely not going away.
Well, Caitlin, thanks so much for coming by.
Yep, thank you.
Caitlin Farrell is a public affairs and investigative reporter at the Cap Times. Her recent piece is titled Questions, Disputes Remain in Wisconsin Alcohol Industry as Committee Winds Down. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.